Mary Tracy O'Keefe, my guest this evening. For the next hour, we've also opened up phone lines so you can join us if you have your own moments you'd like to share or questions for my guest. You can certainly do that. Tonight, we're discussing how people can live more fully by paying attention, reflecting, asking for guidance, and saying yes to events they believe are meant to be moments. Meant to be moments, discovering what we are called to do and be. If you're just tuning into Coast to Coast this evening, Mary Tracy O'Keefe, my guest. Mary, as kind of a quick overview for new listeners that might be checking in, meant to be moments, is there a reason for the things that go on in our life, and how do we put ourselves on the path? Can you give me a kind of an encapsulation for listeners on how we can look at the messages, the signs in life that we get to make sure that we're putting ourselves on the right path and finding that line we're supposed to walk for our lifetime?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, we talked about some examples of meant to be moments are things that seem to happen for a reason, like somebody just showing up that happens to say just the thing you need to hear them say or present you with an opportunity. Synchronicity is a huge one. We've talked about when things happen three times, it can be really a big sign. You know, one tip off for me, Dave, is that when something happens that I think is meant to be and I get goosebumps, then that's usually, you know, kind of a visceral representation that something does seem to be meant to be, especially when I think about whatever the outcome might be of this experience. How do I feel afterwards?
That's a great way to look at it, too. And, yeah, if you look at the signals that you get, maybe stop the negative talk, which we talked a lot about on last night's show, you know, trying to get past that voice in your head that downplays you or talks you out of making progressive and positive moves going forward. It's not going to always be easy, just like the birthing process, right? It's not a piece of cake. It's a struggle, but it is a relief once we get there, once that breaching happens and we walk past that rough point. That's where life can start to happen. It's not caught below the ceiling. It's once we break through it.
Yes, and you know, Dave, you bring up an important point, because sometimes actually that negative feeling that rises up oftentimes is fear-based, right? And so I would actually say that sometimes the things that we are afraid of doing are a tip-off to the exact thing that we should be doing. So here's an example of that. So I was delivering, I mentioned my husband does Meals on Wheels. One time I was subbing for him, and he's in inner city. It's not a real safe part of town, and I felt very, very terrified about going. Now, real fear is something we ought to heed. And if I hear somebody behind me and I'm just getting the chills, I should really hear this. But this was not something that actually was happening. Anyways, I just kept praying and asking for God to be with me. And when I went into this locked building on a housing project, I was really afraid. I just said, okay, just be with me. I got to go in here, just be with me. And I unlocked the door, and as soon as I stepped in, I felt that peacefulness beyond all understanding. And I heard a little song in my head, and it said, whatever you do for the least of my brethren, that you do unto me. And that was a lesson for me, because I realized I need to reflect upon fear, too. Is that fear preventing me from the opportunity to give love to someone else and then also to receive it, quite frankly?
We're going to take a break. We'll start taking your phone calls. We'll hear your stories. We'll take your questions on Coast to Coast AM right after this. Have you had one of those moments in your life, that meant to be moment where you're in the right place at the right time and something you've been waiting to hear, something you've been looking for, a direction you've been seeking reveals itself? That's what we want to hear about. We want to hear your encounters with this. We want to know your questions for our guests. Let's go to the phone lines. Boy, we've got them pouring in from all around the world, literally, tonight, Mary. Let's go to international line. We've got Johan from Switzerland. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. And hello, Mary Tracy.
Hi, Johan. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, this is indeed a moment that is meant to be. And I want to say ditto to your concept and for your book. My mother was dying of cancer, and she had been to Greece once, And when she found out she had cancer, she immediately booked another trip to Greece. And I asked her at the time, I said, well, why are you booking another trip to Greece? You've been there already. And she said she just loved the culture of the Greeks, the dancing, the music, the food, the general way that the Greeks had, you know, presented themselves to the world. And she said, if you can ever go to Greece, book a trip and go to Greece. Well, I was living in Largo, Florida at the time, and there was a city north of us called Tarpon Springs. And I decided to go up to Tarpon Springs because it was a Greek fishing community with sponge fishermen, and they had come from Greece about the turn of the century, about 1905, and they set up a fishing village there. So I moved my limo business up to Tarpon Springs, and I was an archaeologist, and I really wanted to go to Greece or Egypt, but I thought I would settle for just trying to find out the culture of the Greeks. And so while I was in Tarpon Springs, I noticed that the scenery at the bayou there was idyllic, and I thought that if you removed all the man-made objects, that it would be so idyllic, it would remind me of somehow of what the Garden of Eden would look like. And so I was living in Tarpon with that thought for many years and contemplating the thought. And one day I threw the map of Tarpon Springs upside down on a table that I was studying, and all of a sudden everything made sense. You could see the four figures of Eden carved out of the river. Now, at the time I moved to Tarpon, I didn't realize that they had a story in Greek mythology about the Garden of Hesperides and how Poseidon had carved out a river for his son, Atlas, and his daughter-in-law, Hesperus. And so Atlas and Hesperus had three daughters called the three Hesperides. And so we get the etymology of the word paradise from Greek mythology. So there are four figures carved out of the river, the figure of Poseidon, the figure of Atlas under Poseidon. Across from Atlas is Hesperus, and down below and behind Atlas is the river dragon called Ladon. So the four figures of Eden were carved out of the river system, the Anclote River, and as I investigated more and more about the city, I later found out that there were ancient stone anchors all along the coast of Florida, and what I had actually done by my mother's impetus of telling me to go to Greece is I had actually located the original and only Garden of Eden that the Judeo-Christian Bible was taken from, the Greek mythological story of Poseidon carving out the River of Eden. So this is really a moment that is meant to be, because it allows me to get into the show to alert people that North and South America was Atlantis, and Florida was Eden, and the Garden of Eden was Tarpon Springs.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Thank you very much, Johan. It's always interesting to hear a different take on that kind of concept. Let's go to Wildcard Line 1, Christian in Los Angeles. Welcome to the show.
Hello, guys. How are you? It's good to be on the show again. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I haven't found my epiphany moment yet, but just kind of give you a background. I've gone to school, technical colleges, in the past, you know, over the last 10 years, struggling student. I graduated twice from a technical college that specializes in preparing students for the healthcare industry, you know, in various positions like medical billing and chiropractic and dental assisting. And I graduated from the school twice with an excellent academic standing. You know, with many awards and certificates. And the problem is that the crash of 08 occurred, and that's when everything collapsed. And I've just spent, you know, quite a few years just trying to get my foot in the door in healthcare, because as corporate America, has done a fine job brainwashing, you know, the people of the country that it's all about money and being greedy, and that's what the money is in the healthcare industry, you know, and that kind of a concept of corporatism. And it's just, it's funny, I tried getting my foot in the door, and it's going to all of these job interviews, and it's like, you know, nothing would ever work for me, and I was just dumbfounded, and I was just trying to think, what is my problem? What am I not doing? And it's like job interviews. To fast forward, my uncle has prostate cancer, and I've been taking care of him now in kind of a hospice setting for the last year. And it's been very challenging. I'm glad I'm doing it. I don't trust anybody else but myself. And sadly, because of the prostate cancer and because it's gone into his bones, it's become a metastasized cancer. I don't think he has. I think this might be his last Christmas. It's sort of sad to say that, but it's just kind of just the way things are now. And if I can just put a shout out to all of the Coast listeners out there who are listening to this now, that's part of this holiday season. If you could say a prayer for my Uncle Harry, who's struggling with cancer, I would appreciate that, because all the prayers really can, you know, really do help. But the point is that eventually when he goes, when he crosses over and he leaves, I'm going to pretty much be on my own again. And I just kind of, I want to do things again. I want to go back to school, you know, and get my bachelor's degree. So I just, what would be your advice for me through this difficult time, especially now taking care of someone who is terminally ill, a family member, and of course that comes, you know, that puts a lot of stress on me emotionally, like with depression and worrying. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's really hard to be going through when you're taking care of somebody who's dying in front of you and they're not getting any better, and you're worrying about what's going to happen after they pass away. Is everything going to be okay? Mm-hmm. So I'll take my comments and give them to you guys, and I look forward to hearing your feedback, and thank you again. And happy holidays to you and everybody there on Coast to Coast, okay?
Cheers. Thank you, Christian. We will keep you and him in our prayers, of course. What a fascinating way to break off this part of the topic, because, I mean, this is certainly a lot to deal with for Christian. And again, those can be the moments that seem to test us the most and sometimes make us feel the most separated from our religion, from our friends, from our family, and make us feel like we're broken away from the life we thought we should have. What do you suggest he should do with this moment?
Well, first of all, Christian, I want to express my sympathy for what you're going through with your Uncle Harry, but I also want to say what a gift that you are giving to him, and that it could be that you are called to do that because you are doing that. And as sad as it might be, there is going to be some wisdom that you're going to gain from this. And I would really reflect upon that, because you're interested in healthcare, and I'm wondering if there might be something that you're learning as you're caring for your dear uncle.
Yes.
That might carry you into some other opportunity. I also would suggest that after he goes, that you look for ways that he might actually seem to be sending you a sign, and let yourself be comforted by that. Because when we're so, so sad sometimes and grieving, sometimes it's easy to miss little signs that we will get that reassure us that he is still with us. And then the other thing I wanted to just say is really try to take good care of yourself, because when you get worn down and tired, it can seem like the God is very far away. And so sometimes the prayer is just for God to give you that peace and comfort, and to give your Uncle Harry that as well, because it sounds like he is not going to be cured. But what we can pray for is that he will have healing in his spirit and his emotions and his mind, and that we always used to pray for the grace of a happy death, that when it comes, that it will be peaceful and not too hard on both of you.
I think there's a message too, Mary, and maybe you can expand on this idea, that sometimes people find in tragedy and think, when am I going to see the good? When am I going to get the message? And as I understand it, sometimes it's in those moments of tragedy that the message is being conveyed to us. Sometimes in not getting our prayers answered, our hopes and desires, sometimes that's because there is something better there's a better plan in mind. And I know that sounds so hokey to a lot of people, and it sounds like a cop-out almost. And I've been at that point where I'm like, no, there's nothing good that comes out of what just happened until 2-3 years down the road, and then you realize what you learned from that moment, as hard as it may have been. And maybe, just maybe, the reason that things haven't come through is because your lesson is to be learned with being there for your uncle in this last moment. And having the concerns and nervousness, I mean, here's the deal. It's the end game. It's, you already know what's coming. So there's, in a sense, and I don't mean to belittle or talk it down, there's no need to be worried or concerned about what happens, because you already know he's heading towards the end zone. That's it. That's the end of it. Mm-hmm. And what can we do? What can we learn? And what can we glean from these moments in between? And maybe like you, Mary, when you had that moment in dealing with death and facing it and becoming a hospice volunteer, there's a message in there to help him. And all of these things that he's been going through, the lessons may be in this moment that's coming up in front of him and teaching him about death. And maybe his work is in the healthcare industry, helping people face death and understand what's going on and understand that things don't always go as planned, but that there is a message in that too.
That's right. And sometimes it can be very hard to say, look for the good in something. That's why sometimes I say instead, look for what you are grateful within these situations. So, you know, when caring for a loved one at the end of their life, maybe you're grateful for some of the care that he's able to get from his physicians or the nurses, or you're grateful for the people who take you out to dinner to give you a little bit of a break. So if you look for things that you are grateful for, that can help you find find meaning and find something good in it. But it's hard to, you know, it's hard to find the good when you're losing a beloved family member, especially when it's a child, quite frankly. So I'm even kind of careful sometimes about the language that I use. Because really, people have to find their own way, you know, Dave, don't you think, in these situations?
Right, and that is it. And the one thing to maybe remember is, in these moments of what we perceive to be negativity and bad things happen, that is not what defines us. The tragedy in our lives that befalls us is not what defines who we are as a person. It's how we stand back up, dust ourselves off, and make the next step that truly defines who the person is that we are and will become.
That's right. And I really always loved Viktor Frankl's line about the fact that we can't control what happens to us, but we can always control how we respond to what happens to us.
And I know I don't want it to slip away from us. We've got a very short time left right now, about a minute, if that. What do you really hope people get from the book?
What I hope people get is the reality that God is very close to them, and that there are things that will happen that will reassure them that we are never alone, that the help is out there, that the signs are out there, and guidance is there to be received once we tune in and receive it and respond to it.
You mentioned that you had a friend who isn't of a theologic belief system, I guess, in Christianity, but with the stories that you've collected for your books, are you astounded to find that people that maybe aren't of the same belief system do have their lives turned around because something appears to them to give them a sign that it's different than what they believe their paradigm was to begin with?
Yes, that's actually very interesting. I have talked to people who don't believe in an afterlife at all, and we've had interesting discussions. But because they've been willing to listen to the stories, I have one friend in particular who didn't believe that. Yet when her dad died, she had some of these after-death experiences. And so she said, even though my religious tradition doesn't really condone that or doesn't really promote that, she says, I believe in it because of my own personal experiences. And so, and the reality
is... Well, Mary, I don't mean to cut you short. We do have to take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue with phone calls and more insights from our guest, Mary Tracy O'Keefe, on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you very much for tuning in and being a part of the show with me this evening. Next hour, we will be joined by Daniel Fazina. He'll be with us for the last 2 hours of the show. Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of Miracles. that are happening right now. We'll be talking about that, a lot of celebrity miracles and stories he's been able to collect over the years. We'll talk about that in the last couple hours of the show, and I'm really looking forward to that interesting guest as well. Tonight, Meant to Be Moments, discovering what we are called to do and be. Mary Tracy O'Keefe is our guest. If you've missed any part of tonight's show or any of the past shows and you'd like to catch up, it's very simple to do that. Just go to coasttocoastam.com and become a Coast Insider. There's so many great things there on the website. You can interact with the hosts. You can interact with the guests. You can find information on amazing stories that are taking place daily around the world. And you get access to over 5 years of past archives of the show, the best in overnight talk radio. And it's literally 15 cents a day if you decide to sign up. It also makes a great holiday gift. So if you've got somebody that's hard to buy for on your list and you know this is the kind of stuff that they're interested in, and maybe they can't stay up quite as late to listen to the entire show, give the gift of Coast to Coast AM by becoming an insider or giving the gift of becoming an insider. Go check it out at coasttocoastam.com. We've got more of your calls lined up next on Coast to Coast AM. All right, we're back. We've got calls lined up. Our guest is Mary Tracy O'Keefe. You ready to hear some more encounters and stories, Mary?
Absolutely. I love hearing them.
Let's go to wild card line four, Mustafa in Dallas. You're on the air. Mustafa, are you there? All right, apparently not on the air with us. Oh, there you are. Okay, hi, Mustafa. Thanks for hanging in.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, first and foremost, I just want to thank God. Thank God for just this experience, for you guys being on air and just sharing all these other experiences. I wanted to share my experience. I used to own a construction company, and I had an injury. And I remember being injured in that moment, just laying there and thinking about my family and how I was going to provide for them and, you know, how difficult things were going to be. And, you know, I started on my journey back, you know, to recovery. And during this journey, I had an opportunity, you know, to a whole different world opened up to me. And I took that opportunity because I didn't have an option. To be honest with you, I was laid up in bed. I had about 6 months where I couldn't move. And with my laptop and that opportunity, I opened up another business, you know, and things have been completely successful. And I thank God for that. And I think more than anything else, if we can just be patient, I know it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. Patience will reveal and open up all of the paths. And usually when we have encounters in life, traumatic, we call them big ones, the hinging moments in our lives, those are where opportunities come. And they're usually from God. They're actually always from God, because nothing happens by chance. Everything is His will, you know. I mean, I don't know.
All right, Mustafa, I appreciate you sharing your story on that. What do you feel on that, Mary? I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of the audience that listens that doesn't subscribe to any theology and may not even believe in a God, but yet these experiences still happen. Do you believe that it's because when we set intention with, call it God or the universe, spirit, whatever we have before us, that once we set that intention within ourselves, that helps to focus us to find ways to achieve our goals and maybe open us up to more possibilities?
I think that is absolutely true, because I think once we set an intention, then our antenna is out for the things that are, you know, the word manifest is coming to mind because people use that a lot, but that are, because you set the attention, you're kind of in tune to the response. And I like what Mustafa said about opportunities, that things are always opportunities, whether we're just, whether we're gaining wisdom from something or, as he said, having an opportunity where something you might look as a bad thing happening, certainly an injury is a hard thing to go through. But when you start looking for the opportunities, that causes you to be more reflective. The other thing I want to say is, as far as it being God's will, I think we also have to remember that we have free will, and we can choose to take advantage of these opportunities or not. that is our choice. But a lot of times when we don't take advantage, that's where the coincidence comes in, or the, you know, the opportunities we presented over and over to us. But let's tap into them and respond to them rather than keep waiting for them to show up.
First-time caller line, Diana in Santa Ana, California. You're on the line.
Hello there. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Diana. Hi, Diana.
And I wanted to wish everybody there a very happy holiday, most especially your screener, sir, for at least listening to my call, listening to why I was calling, and keeping me on the line this long. I'm thrilled to death. My moment that to this day, I have actually decided over quite a few period of years now that I don't think I believe in karma anymore. I don't believe in God. I do believe in Jesus, because I have a very good friend who has cancer, and I wear my bracelet, and I believe Jesus has one more miracle left for her. But what I'm calling about is when I was, I'm 60 now, and sometime when I was around 17 or so, I was at the beach with my friends in Newport Beach, as, you know, kids do, and the girls are all talking, and I basically was kind of not in the conversation. I was started to get fascinated by watching this little boy playing in the water at the waves in front of me, and I was quite a ways from the actual shore, but I kept watching him and seeing how he was teasing the wave, and it was riptide that day because the red flag was up, and he was about probably 7 years old and probably didn't weigh any more than maybe 50 pounds. He was one of these real lanky little guys, but I saw him teasing himself, and I'm thinking, you know what? You better be careful, because there was only a foot of space between his foot and his knee. And a wave came in, and because the riptide was so unbelievably strong, it was the mid-ankle, mid-calf, in which he completely got pulled and swept off his feet. And I just tore off the blanket, and by the time I got to him, he had already gone out to the point where I felt the bottom no more. I was in very, very deep water. And nice. He, of course, was crawling all over me as a drowning person does. And I kept trying. And I noticed that his eyes were as big as saucers. And I flipped him around finally and was able to somehow get closer to the shore. But these waves kept pulling and pulling us back out. I finally reached the bottom. I could feel my feet, but I still had a good hunk of my body still left in the water. These two men were playing this pong kind of game back and forth in front of me, and I was screaming and screaming. They didn't see me at all. And by the time I finally caught enough grip of the sand, I brought myself up to my pelvis, and I had this boy cradled in my arms. And they finally saw and heard me. They both ran to me and helped drag us both onto the water, the beach where we could stand. The next thing I saw was this mother come tearing down the beach. And she was about 50 yards, 100 yards away. And she just comes tearing. And I'm standing there holding this child. And she grabbed him and just ran back where she came from. And I just walked up to my towel, and I laid on my towel with my face down, because that moment, I have to tell you, I have had very bad things that I have created in my life, but I feel like, was I just put here, was it just meant for me to just be here on this planet just so that little boy could live? And I looked online, tried to find out, wonder what happened to him, but what it was an extremely sacred moment. My friend said, why are you crying, Diana? And I couldn't even talk. I just buried my face in the sand, and I just felt like the energy that created everything in the world and created me, I was so blessed to be able to just have that little boy get to go home to his mom that night. And it was a very, very intimate, spiritually intimate moment. And I have never had a moment like that since in my entire life. I'll take my response off the air.
Well, you know, the beautiful thing about that, Diana, is the fact that to some family, an angel appeared that day and saved their child. And their child is here because of what happened and why you were there. Was there a specific reason for you? Was it happenstance? Was it coincidence? Whatever you want to refer to it as, I can guarantee you they've got a fond story to share about the day that somebody that they didn't know took an interest in a love and risked themselves to go out and save a little child. And, you know, I don't believe that's our only purpose in life, to do one good thing and then that's it. It's perhaps that opens the door, Mary. Is that right? When you've had an experience like that and you feel the impact, it's then going forward and making more of that life.
That's right. You know, the thing is, Diana, you said yes. I mean, there certainly seems like you were in that boy's life for a reason, for that moment. Think of all the, there must have been probably hundreds, maybe thousands of people on that beach. You were focused on this boy before he was even in danger. You know, I would say maybe something was even causing you to focus on and help save his life. But the important thing is you said yes to that. You didn't ignore that feeling that motivated you to go out. The other thing I want to say is, you know, in a way, it doesn't really matter if we believe in God or not. I have stories in my book that are from agnostics. We are still called, you know, we still have those opportunities. Whether we believe or not, we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, and therefore we're going to have spiritual experiences.
Very similar story to that bus driver that's been in the news, right? That pulled over, saw the woman getting ready to jump off the bridge, and
that was amazing.
Reached out and talked her back in, and there was that moment. And it would have been just so easy for him to keep driving.
Yeah.
And people jump from bridges and commit suicide all the time as people walk by, drive by, and ignore the situation instead of taking that moment to try to make a difference. So that's a beautiful story into itself. Let's go to Wildcard Line 5, James in Canada. Welcome to Coast AM.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. Dave, Mary, excellent topic. Obviously, I could go on for probably half an hour all by myself here. I've been very fortunate in my own existence. I wasn't supposed to make it past my first 24 hours as a little child. And through that, being of Catholic descent, I've had my last rites written to me already. So I'm good to go.
Okay.
Having said that, I've been really fortunate throughout my years to have experienced things that, you know, I've lost a really close friend when I was 21. This individual, Barry was his name, was the quintessential perfect son. He was going to university at the time. No matter how much as young boys we went out and enjoyed our oats, if you will, he would always go to church, and it wasn't for himself on Sunday, but he knew how important it was to his parents, and for that, you know, it was always one of those things. And he was a humorous guy, but never at the expense of somebody else. And fast forward a little bit later on, I was really lucky to also have an experience where I was able to be a caregiver both for my parents, and then subsequent to that, I had another situation, and this is the one that I bring forward, is I had a circumstance where I had three successive dreams. In the first dream, you saw the dark, ominous clouds, and you're kind of, okay, this is pretty profound. I'm not sure why or what this is intending, but I thought it was important enough that I spoke to my wife and I told her what was happening. Day two, I knew that somebody was going to be passing away in my family. Wasn't sure specifically what it was, but then on day three, once again, dark, ominous clouds, saw all of my mother's family and knew that it was my grandmother that was going to be passing away. So, okay, fine and dandy. The next, about 2 days later, my mother calls me up and says that our Baba, this is what we call our grandmother, was in hospital, and that she was ill but wasn't getting any better. And that evening I kind of says, well, I know. And that evening I was really lucky to have been asked to be an angel. I was sent a message that I was to go up to my grandmother and take her right hand and put one on top of the other and kiss her on the right cheek and tell her that God loves and God forgives and that it was okay to pass away. So, as you can imagine, as one that is, yes, raised Catholic, but yet not, I'm not standing up at the pulpit and shaking the the Bible in my fist. So it was one of these moments that you're kind of okay, acknowledging the task that was asked of you to do, and now to move forward. So my wife had gone, and we had to go and get some supplies before we went back home. And the drive is about a 3.5-hour drive. And during that process, I'm kind of going, yeah, okay, so not only are we going to go see my grandmother, but now I've been asked to do this. I've been asked to get her to cross on over. And through the drive, I'm kind of thinking, well, I don't know, maybe this isn't such a great idea. However, I get an opportunity, I pull into town, and I'm having a conversation with my sister.
And we have about 2 minutes, James. I just want to let you know so we don't cut you short.
So in this process, I'm having a conversation with my sister. My sister goes, hey, you've got to see the most unique thing that happened to me today. I went to this restaurant, and look at this. And she pulls out this $5 bill. And on the top of the $5 bill, it says, God loves, God forgives. At that point in time, I had a really unique experience. Have you ever heard of those Australian rain trees, if you will, that you turn them upside down and you kind of hear like the sound of rain falling?
Well, sure.
Through my from the top of my head to the tips of my toes, I had that sensation. It went from the top of my head all the way down through to my toes, from my toes back up to my head again. And it was reaffirmed of what I was to do. And I went with two of my other siblings while I had to do it, and we speak of this other consciousness sometimes that goes on. They entered into the room, and typical greetings were exchanged, but yet when I entered the room, my grandmother looked at me and says, "I'm ready to pass away."
Mm.
So then, I must say I'm really lucky to have gone through that. And as I say, there's so many more experiences that I've been blessed to have. I must say that I'm hopeful that at some point in time I can also, I enjoy the political arena. I think it has the opportunity to be a great thing, and that's my desire, is to move towards that and put maybe honesty and sincerity and leadership back in that.
And if that's what you feel your calling is, James, then I'm sure you're going to be as successful as that at that. Thank you for listening and giving us a call this evening. Mary Tracy O'Keefe, Meant to Be Moments, Discovering What We Are Called to Do and Be. We have a link for the book up on our website. And if people want to find you, they want to share more stories with you, they want insight and information regarding the work that you do, how can they find you?
Well, they can go to my website, marytracyokeefe.com, and you can email me. I've actually already gotten some emails from listeners, mtoradio@gmail.com. Share your stories. I love to read them. I will respond to you. So thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Stay tuned, everybody. We've got Tales of Modern Day Miracles with guest Daniel Fazina next on the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM.